banana singing his song. All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, rockin' Robin, what we really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree. The wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' Robin.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm so excited. Our friends from Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center are here. Jesse Eckrode is here, and I can't wait to hear what's going on from her, but also expert birder Kevin Smith is here. He's not in retirement. He is very, very active in his retirement days, and so we're excited to chat it up with you both. Jesse, how have you been?
Very good. I really do feel like right now we are genuinely coming into spring here. We've got some of the spring migratory birds coming back, which is really exciting. Kevin could probably tell you more about what he's seen coming through, but we don't get to like really good peak migration for several more weeks here.
Okay.
But spring's definitely on the way. I'm seeing the different plants starting to pop up and hearing the birds singing their spring songs.
I've seen crocuses popping up, which is so fun.
Absolutely. And my lilies and my irises are starting to pop up. Yeah.
It's a great time
of
year.
We're well on our way.
Kevin, how have you been?
I've been very good.
How's the missus?
She's good.
Is she still quilting?
She's quilting. She's going to teach classes in different places, but mostly staying close to home.
Well, are you staying close to home with your birding?
Not really.
Of course not.
Birding can be something that you can combine with travel very easily, as well as meeting up with friends and sharing the birds that are coming through. And so travel is a big part of most people's birding. And they've got in Minnesota county listers that try to get birds in every single county. So they specialize in Minnesota, but they'll travel to the different counties to see how big of a list they can get.
You know, because we have such a long state, do you think that there are more birds per capita or whatever here than other states? Do you know what I mean? We have like very, very cold up north, and I don't know how much warmer it is like in Austin, Minnesota, but does that matter, do you think?
Well, it does matter because we're getting birds that are migrating through and heading to places in the north. And here in Dakota County, we can pick up on those birds if we're trying for them in the spring or maybe when they return in the fall. But there's not all that many that will actually breed here compared with other places. If you talk about trying to find a really big list of birds, you're going to travel is important. People that do big years and they want to get all the birds that they can on their list, they're going to travel a lot. And there's a lot of folks that are doing it. We've got some folks that are volunteering out at the Carpenter Nature Center for the Earth Day Festival that are trying their best. Some young people that are really tops at finding the birds are going to be out there helping out on this festival that we've got coming up.
So what do we need to be a birder?
Birding can be pretty simple.
Okay.
And that's something that we've wanted to encourage by having this Earth Day celebration. We wanted to encourage new birders, young people, as well as families to come out and share the experience. Birding can be that trigger that gets them interested in nature and helping to protect nature during their lives. We do get a lot of participants. The festival includes a competition for youth to see how many birds that they can get on their list. And some of the kids are really fantastic. One kid in particular, he won the contest, and then the next year he came back as a guide, and he's still guiding
that
for
intergenerational
us.
Kind of and growing
so
up
wonderful.
In birding. Yeah, that's definitely something that we encourage through the festival, but through a lot of the bird related activities that we do.
That's right.
So when is this festival, please?
That's a great question. I can give you some of the most basic information, but then I want to turn it over to Kevin because he is one of the people that jump-started this whole thing years ago, and we wouldn't be able to do it without him. So I'm going to make sure that he gets to share all the good bits. But the festival is on Saturday, April 20th. We run that in kind of conjunction with Earth Week. So our festival is always kind of falls during that time frame. And there's a lot of fun activities to do over the course of the day. And it is a full day experience if people want it to be, or they can come and go over the course of the day. We do $10 for participation, and you even have the option to purchase a box lunch if you decide that you're going to be there for the whole day. You do have to pre-register for that, but you know, that's a cool opportunity so that you can just really bird till you drop if you want to. You've got that with you. But yeah, some great guest speakers, some good field trip opportunities, and then of course the youth birding competition that Kevin was talking about. And as always, that information is available on our website. But I want to turn it over to Kevin to talk about, in particular, I love all of the birding field trips that people have an option to go on.
Yeah, we live in an area that has the junction of several rivers, and so it's really a mecca to find birds. And some of the best places that have been preserved here in the Hastings area, we are able to take people out to those spots, the carpool out, and we've got guides lined up that know the areas and know the birds, and they can share that with the folks. Examples of that, are one of the real popular sites is, of course, go to Afton State Park. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've had more people sign up for that one than most of the other spots that we go to. Down at Lake Rebecca and the Lock and Dam number 2, that's another choice spot mm-hmm. that people really like to go to.
Because you see big birds down there? I think the Lock and Dam is being so open that there aren't any spots for birds.
No, there's a lot of birds that come down there. There's different types of habitats down there. You've got emergent marsh habitat. If you take the dike trail from Lock and Dam number 2, you can go across that dike trail and you can see the emergent marsh of Lake Rebecca that's there. And there's a lot of species of birds that if you didn't know the birds or you didn't have a guide to show you those, you wouldn't know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the big ones, like Canada geese, you can see them. The bald eagles, everybody can see those because they're so big.
But
there's a lot of the small ones there that the guides will be able to take novice birders down there and show them. And that's during the festival as well as during the summer if they get onto some of the other programs.
You say you carpool. Do you meet up at Carpenter and then carpool from there?
That's right. Everything starts out at Carpenter Nature Center. There's a keynote speaker first that we're going to be having, and I know Jesse wants me to stay on the field trips, but we'll go to the different field trips. People should, if they can, sign up in advance for those field trips, but they don't have to. They can sign up the day of, too.
Okay.
We have more than one guide for each trip. And carpooling, you mentioned, they'll start at Carpenter Nature Center. The guides will tell them, here's where we have to go and here's how to get there. And there are maps available for people with their smartphones. They can find a way to get there pretty easy. They meet up at that, and then after the field trip, then they go back to Carpenter, maybe for the rest of the programming.
It's such an adventure. I love this.
It is, yeah. I really appreciate the fact that these excursions are guided. I can't stress enough how great that is because I'm a nature lover. I go on hikes out by myself, and there's certain things that I'm interested in that I know a lot about that I can spot really easily. But my gosh, my birding experiences are so much better when I have somebody like Kevin or some of my other birding friends who, you know a lot about bird behavior or who also know bird songs really well, so that that can help you to say, oh, I heard it coming from that direction.
I hear birds more than I see them, I would say.
And that's what's great about those guides is they can get you pointed in the right direction, literally and metaphorically, to kind of get you going on your birding journey because everybody birds in a slightly different way.
Kevin, how did you get excited about birds?
Well, when I was a young person in grade school, my mom had a friend that she worked with that was a bird bander. I know Carpenter Nature Center, they do bird banding, and that gets young people interested. So my interest goes way back to where I was invited to visit a bird bander's home, and he showed us what he was doing the bands, and why would they do that. And not only is it for science, but it also gets people enthused about it and willing to keep it as a lifelong hobby. And so that's how I started out. And then when you do have that interest, then you usually people see a bird, and that bird is referred to as a spark bird. That's the main bird that you remember from way back when you very first see it. And the very first time I saw a scarlet tanager, it was awesome.
Yes.
And it was a male scarlet tanager. It had come down off of an oak tree and onto the pathway where I saw it, and that's a spark bird for sure.
Did you know what kind of bird it was, or did you have to look it up?
I had to look it up, though I was fortunate in that you know, in grade school, I got that opportunity. But then there was a sixth grade biology teacher that gave us checklists for birds of Minnesota. Mm. And that prompted me to buy a field guide. So I had to look it up, and then I knew what it was and could go on from there. And so it's been a long journey, hope we can share that with a lot of people as they come out there for the festival.
Well, and the stories that you're telling are what you are going to be doing for some child at this event. I mean, that's what's so cool about this.
We were just, as we were out in the lobby here waiting, we were just talking again about how important it is to engage the youth. So knowing that, Kevin, you've been birding since you were very young, I mean, you can directly relate to any of these new kids that are coming in and that are expressing interest in nature. And, you know, if birds are that vehicle, excellent. We're going to snag you with your love of birds. And before you know it, you'll be engaging in education and conservation that is beneficial to all plants and wildlife.
Do you think our bird population is getting healthier, or is it suffering with the way that the world has progressed?
Our bird population is suffering in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
A loss of habitat is probably the biggest thing. As we change things, we've got to be mindful of habitat for wildlife. Mm-hmm. And if it changes in a way that they're not able to adapt to, then those populations go down. There are some birds species will benefit by habitat changes, crows being one of them that pretty much benefits by the habitat changes, so numbers of crows could go up.
Okay, then, it seems like they've gone up. And before mm-hmm. we went on the air, that is my least favorite bird that I know of. Maybe I just haven't met other birds that I'm not crazy about, but they seem like they're up to no good. What is their benefit?
Oh, Mo. Oh, that hurts my heart. I love crows, and I love ravens. And fun fact, Mo.
Yes.
Blue jays are in the same family as crows and ravens. So I think part of the reason...
I don't see enough blue jays to really form an opinion about them. I think they're beautiful.
Well, they're kind of sassy like crows and ravens are too. But I think some of that comes from how intelligent the birds are. People perceive them as being mischievous because they are so intelligent and they can maybe cause problems in urban settings. Like, I love the pictures and videos I see of the crows or ravens ripping up the bird spikes that are on city buildings to try to keep birds away.
So are they really that smart?
They are. They're incredibly smart. You know, ravens, their intelligence is equivalent to like a 5 or 6 year old kid. They remember individual people in good and bad ways.
Okay, tell me more about this.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of examples, but I can give you a very quick example. When Carpenter Nature Center had the common raven ambassador that we had for a while, I was her primary caregiver when she first came to our facility. And very long story short, she needed to be on crate rest for an injury that she sustained. And what I mean by that is you're putting this very, very intelligent large bird in a dog kennel for a week. And it's for their own good to make sure that they are, you know, safe and healthy. But boy, she was not a fan of me real quick. And years after that incident, anytime I would just walk by her enclosure, she would alarm call at me because I was a bad one. So, you know, that could be some of the reason. And I just think also that culturally, a lot of people think, ooh, black animals are spooky, or people associate them with Halloween. But I think that's all hogwash. They're all amazing in their
own
way.
I'll have to give them a second look, I guess. There's plenty of them, though, right?
Yeah, their population is doing well, whereas some of the birds that are like prairie birds, mm-hmm. we've lost so much prairie habitat that there's not opportunity for them to find nesting space or find the foods that they want and need. So the population does go down.
Mm-hmm. So does it go down, or do they move away to somewhere else?
Well, if their habitat loss is... like prairies, we've lost prairies all across mm-hmm. the U.S. And so those birds that are coming back to find breeding spaces, they're not finding the room that they need. So those populations will go down. Same is happening in the forests. We're losing forests, and there's other species that are able to make their way into the forest that are causing population problems too, because we fragment the forest so mm-hmm. much that it's not healthy for the population. that's not used to that. They didn't develop that way. That scarlet tanager, for instance, that's a forest bird, and it has to be in the forest because it only nests one time per year. Mm-hmm. And if a cowbird, brown-headed cowbird, is able to make its way into the interior of the forest because of the pathways and the fragmentation that's caused when man develops the area, the scarlet tanager isn't going to have success in raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the population drops.
Okay. Yeah, those dynamics are really complex. There's a snowball effect with things, and you know everything in nature is connected like a web. So you pull on one thing, and it changes something else. So we are constantly trying to do our best to understand those factors that are affecting bird populations, oftentimes negatively. And so that's why we value so much the different types of research we do at Carpenter Nature Center for the benefit of birds and other wildlife.
And to pull the conversation back to the festival.
Yeah.
we definitely focus highly on families and getting young people to the festival so that we can share these things with them, and hopefully that there will be a few of them that would go off and have their careers in natural resource management that mm-hmm. can help to preserve the habitats and keep things more friendly for all the wildlife.
Yep. And to your story from your youth about how bird banding kind of sparked something for you. At the festival, we have bird banding demonstrations going on consistently over the course of the morning. So that's something that people can bring their families to observe that. You know, it doesn't, you could be, an 8-year-old kid or an 88-year-old kid.
Oh, it
doesn't matter. There's something for everybody at that festival, including that bird banding demonstration.
Our keynote speaker this year, Jessie knows her much better, and she'll talk to you about her, but we have a keynote speaker that is the person that's with Tropical Wings. Mm-hmm. And Tropical Wings is a partnership that's developed so that we can, and Jessie's actually experienced this too, those birds go for the winter down to places like Costa Rica, and then they come back here and they have to find places to breed. So having habitat in Costa Rica as well as having habitat here are both important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Patricia Mueller is going to be our keynote speaker, and she is the president of Tropical Wings. And I know her well because I'm actually on the board of Tropical Wings as well. So that can be a topic for another time. I'd love to dive into that. But yes, one of the points that Patty is going to speak on is that our conservation efforts aren't just local. It's not Dakota County. It's not just Minnesota. It's not just the United States. It's not just North America. It's this interstate, international, multicultural, multigenerational effort that we need to all be engaging in together. And so having program partners between Carpenter Nature Center, Tropical Wings, the Hastings Environmental Protectors, the City of Hastings, all of whom are involved in this birding festival, that's how we're going to make changes, by partnering and engaging birders of all ages and all ability levels.
And would you give the date again and the information about how to get tickets?
Absolutely. So our Hastings Area Earth Day Birding Festival is on April 20th. That's a full day event. For more information about the timing of certain of the field trip opportunities or speakers, you can go on our website. That's where you would go to sign up as well. That is $10 per participant. If you would like a box lunch, you have to register in advance, and that's $15. But we're also welcoming day of registrations for folks that wanna pop in. And the information for registering for the youth birding competition is in the same place as the rest of the information for the festival. And we just would love to see you there. So go to carpenternaturecenter.org for that information and information about more programming that we do.
Jesse Eckrode, Kevin Smith, we appreciate your time today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.